Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
For the Twitchers, you can get all fired up because we have a guest joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline. It's noon straight up with Gresh and Fourier. And of course, this weekend out in Las Vegas, it is UFC 300, arguably the best pay-per-view card ever put together by Dana White and the folks at UFC. And joining us now via Zoom on the crispest looking video maybe that we have had is our buddy, the voice of the UFC, John Anik, who is, by the way, he's moving more merch than The Rock, is our guy Anik right now on the One More Sleep t-shirts. There was a special UFC 300. So he can't hear us, Coop. So hopefully we can get that squared away.
You can tell when somebody can't
hear
you.
Well, we tried to do the unmute and then the mute in here. So I don't know if that messed anything up because you were bullying people again, Fourier. So, you know, you're just pushing people around one more time and yelling at everyone. No, but we'll get Anik up and squared away. See, this is what we got to figure out with, before Coop gets out of here.
Yeah.
We did figure it out before where...
So he's still...
John, hang tight, brother. We're going to get it squared away here. Yeah. What are you doing? I thought you were doing Dunsky or whatever. I'm like, don't do that!
No.
No. Well, I'm on the plane tonight to head out to Vegas, and I can tell you this.
He can always just do the phone call. Just call in, and we can still see him. He can talk on the phone.
Yeah, you know what? That is true. I don't know why we have the hang-up on this.
Yeah.
And we can still...
Because I see him on his phone. You send him the number. He can just call in. And we'll just do it live.
He won't
be able to have his hands free, but
What a mess.
It's like, you know, what are you going to do? You have gremlins in the computer.
What are we going to do? We hope it works. And there you go.
What would Gerard Mayo say in this situation? He can't use it. It is what it is.
No.
Just doing what's best for the show.
All right.
Can't do that one either.
Hang on.
He would have to use...
No, this is terrible because, you know, we've only worked on this for like...
We really prepped for this too.
Yeah.
We practiced.
No, but the whole, trying to get this done the right way because I have to do this on the air. Nick, in the audio part of noon, I put John's number in there. Let's just give him a call and end this before I start throwing stuff across the room. Because this is really pissing me off now that we can't figure this out. Jesus God.
Here we go.
We create audio and we can't figure out how to get them on Zoom and stuff like that. It's like,
COVID.
Anik can't hear us, but there you go. Yeah,
there
Billy,
it
there it is.
Hey, now we're going to get him. Let's punch him in.
So there we go. We'll do him over the phone.
Yeah.
But we'll, yeah.
Come on, you're 2 hours away from being on a plane.
Yeah, it's the last time we're doing this over Zoom. I can tell you that much because we can't figure
it out. He
still
looks good.
So we got Anik, who everybody on Twitch can see, except he's just joining us on the phone. I had a Rock joke teed up, Anik, with all the merch you're moving and things like that. And then, you know, we can't get you on the clear signal. But good morning, buddy. How are you?
Well, at least I can see your faces, and there's absolutely no delay. It's a highlight for me during a pay-per-view week like this, obviously, to be with my boys there in Boston. And it's crazy. There's so much technically that can go wrong. Like, I built a home studio for my podcast, and every other show, my roadcaster goes sideways, and we can't even get on the air. So I know there's a lot of issues with Zoom or StreamYard, but it's UFC 300 fight week.
Oh, my God.
And John, and I remember last time we talked to you, the amount of prep work that you go through is pretty substantive, right? And I'm curious, like, are you in a hotel room right now? You in your hotel in Vegas? Okay. Do you have, like, a book of notes that, you know, your producer gives you as far as all the fighters that you can show us? Or is it, like, proprietary? Can you not show it? You can jump off. Yeah, jump off screen.
Yeah, get out of there. Exactly.
I feel like it's going to look like a phone book.
Oh, no. I'm with you. It is. There it is. Yeah, you can see. It's like a massive, there it is.
Oh, so that's your notes for one fight, right?
Right.
Okay.
So basically what I do, and I've been handwriting my notes as a play-by-play guy since 2009, and it's probably an antiquated system, but it hasn't failed me yet. But the first thing the UFC generates is the UFC fighter bios, and then I transfer whatever I think is useful to my fighter card, and then I'm adding notes to that card all week, things I pick up either on UFC Embedded, maybe I run into a coach, something in the fighter meeting. But oftentimes, play-by-play guys will tell you they use like 15% of what they actually prep. But by handwriting all of this stuff, I can be looking at the action, looking at the octagon, and a lot of this stuff gets committed to memory. So it's a pretty exhaustive process. This show actually is a little bit easier to prepare for, believe it or not, because oftentimes on pay-per-views, as Gresh well knows, we'll feature like four or five UFC newcomers and some upcoming prospects, and I got to do a deep dive. We got nothing but star power, you know, 12 current or former champions this weekend. So it's been a little bit of an easier navigation, believe it or not, for UFC 300.
Well, I think the other thing that helps you, too, is you're working with the same people all the time. You know, like you're getting Rogan and DC pretty much every time. And if Bisping slides in there, he's pretty seamless getting in and out. That's got to help you as a play-by-play guy to know what you've got beside you every time you sit down.
It's a great point, Gresh. Even though they haven't come out and sort of publicly stated that it's going to be me, Rogan, and DC for pay-per-views domestically, that's always what they are going to try to do. Joe doesn't travel with us. But, Gresh, you know, in our private conversations and Christian, I've often pined for that, right, to have a regular broadcast team. As much as I have loved working with, I think, 19 different MMA analysts over the last 15 years or so, I think for a lot of us, we want that Joe Buck, Troy Aikman booth that we can mold and really grow and consistently develop chemistry. And, you know, sometimes we'll go 2 months without seeing Joe because we're flying internationally. So in a perfect world, if it was up to me, it'd be the same team every show.
So you mentioned that this card is pretty good, right? Compared to, you know, UFC 100, 200, it's like, this is like, they're really going out of the way to make sure like every single fight is like a great fight. What makes it, just because these are former champions at every different weight class, you got a couple of the women fighting each other, Chinese fighters, I think, who are pretty good. I was watching some videos of them. Scary, I would say, just watching their fights. Why is it so big?
Hit on that, China versus China, because for the first time in UFC history, we have two Chinese fighters competing against one another for a UFC Undisputed Championship, and I don't know that there's any of the overall evolution and global expansion of mixed martial arts than the footprint that this promotion has made in China. But Christian, like Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt are two former UFC champions. Davison Figueiredo is a future UFC Hall of Famer, and he's going to hit the tunnel at 3:10 p.m. Pacific. That is the first fight of the night. And UFC 301 in Rio, May 4th, Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt could have been the damn co-main event, right? Like when you look at this fight card, this is not promotionally hyperbolic whatsoever, and Gresh will back me up on this. We have 13 fights, probably 10 co-main events and 3 to 4 fights that could be main events. Kayla Harrison is a 2-time Olympic judo gold medalist from the United States of America. She's never fought in the UFC. She's going to fight in the middle of the afternoon on the prelims. She's not even the featured prelims. So it's truly an embarrassment of riches, and you know, I didn't call UFC 100 nor 200, so needless to say, I'm excited to be in the build.
Well, and you should be. And the voice of UFC, John Anik, here with us. You can also see him with us on Twitch. The three fights leading into the main card on the prelims, as you mentioned, Holman Harrison, Calvin Kattar, Aljamain Sterling, Jiří Procházka, and Alexander Rakic. I can't say it like you. I'm close enough. But those three, if you put those three fights on the pay-per-view, nobody would complain. Those are pay-per-view quality fights that you're going to be able to flip on ESPN. And you guys are on main ESPN for the prelims, correct, John?
All 4 hours. So begin p.m. there, Eastern Standard Time in New England, we will start. It'll be 4 hours of prelims on ESPN. And you're right. Aljamain Sterling is, on paper, the most accomplished UFC bantamweight champion of all time. Now he moves up to featherweight to face Calvin Kattar, Methuen, Massachusetts guy. His last five UFC fights have all been main events, right? And those guys can't even scratch the main card. And this was obviously the goal promotionally, to make this the deepest card in UFC history. And I called UFC 299 in Miami last month, and that was the best fight card I had ever been assigned, at least on paper. And with respect, this one does put it to shame. So we're excited. We'll be on a headset for 7 hours, and just can't wait to get to Saturday night. It's going to fly by.
Yeah, but Foye, as a home game for Anik, is a, you know, in Miami last time out, he got in a car, not a plane. Oh. That's a big deal
for my man
Anik, who's flying all over the globe.
Yeah, you mentioned the guy, Calvin Kattar. Tell me about him and where he's from. Methuen?
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, right, because I have a special place in my heart for these Boston athletes, but Calvin Kattar is so no-nonsense that I don't even think this dude likes me, but he's the best fighter probably. He and Rob Font representing the New England cartel. Tyson Chartier is the head coach there, and I think Calvin Kattar, at least right now, I mean, Kayla Harrison, the Olympic judoka, she moved to Boston when she was 16. I don't know if we can claim her in Massachusetts, but I think right now Calvin Kattar is the Bay State's best hope for UFC Golden Glory. He's a tremendous cardio.
Go ahead, John. It blipped. I thought you were done. You're good, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, tremendous cardio, but he has been out for a couple of years. But he's also welcoming a bantamweight, a naturally smaller guy, up to 145 pounds. So huge opportunity for Kattar to potentially inch closer to that top three and, you know, maybe set up that first elusive shot at the world title. Kattar's been close, right? He's been very close to the championship. Hasn't fought for the belt yet.
So, Anik, you mentioned Kayla Harrison. It's Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison. Kayla Harrison is making her UFC debut, was in other promotions, making good money, but now it's time to kind of step up to the big leagues now. And you've got a Hall of Fame boxer in Holly Holm against a judoka in Kayla Harrison, who's Olympic level at that. So, Anik, what gives in this fight, and how big is it that Harrison has finally made it to UFC?
Huge deal. Fascinating matchup just in terms of the combat sports history for both of these women. Harrison, obviously, two-time Olympic gold medalist, and Holly Holm, not just a Women's Boxing Hall of Famer, but in 2022, she was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. She was the number one pound-for-pound boxer in three divisions for a long time, so tremendous backdrop to that fight. Holly Holm is 42 years of age. We sat down with Kayla Harrison yesterday, and she sort of intimated that Holly is good at not fighting and still sort of winning fights. And I think that's part of the reason why this fight is not on the main card. Holly Holm can make a lot of noises and feint and laterally move and be sort of inactive while actually fighting. So I think that's part of the reason why this is a prelim fight. But this is exactly what women's mixed martial arts needed right now. Kayla Harrison moving to the UFC. I don't know that she was wholly expectant that this was ever going to happen because the UFC doesn't have a lightweight division, 155 pounds. We don't really have a women's featherweight division, right? Kayla Harrison has never competed at 135 pounds in her life. She fought once at featherweight. That was in 2020. She's been primarily a lightweight. And she's going to have to make 136 pounds here on Friday. So for me, that's really the pre-fight narrative, the fight before the fight, to see how Kayla looks on the scale, to see if she can hydrate properly. I would never put it past an Olympian like her, but she's got to make weight first, Gresh.
Yeah, so we're talking to John Anik, the voice of UFC. And I'm curious, you talk about all these former Olympians and this and that, and the Olympics coming up this summer. I am curious if there's any discussion whatsoever about ever making this like the Olympics adopting MMA?
I love the question, my man. So it's a complicated exercise. I think promotionally for the UFC, it would be a little bit difficult. Also, you would have to probably tweak the rule sets. Not that you would have to invoke headgear necessarily, but you'd probably have to take elbows out of the equation. And then, you know, how do you sort of navigate the professional versus amateur component of it and the monetary component of it? So I think there are a lot of hurdles. But you're right, Christian. There are so many athletes that would like nothing more than to represent their country in an MMA setting and be able to chase an Olympic gold medal. So we used to talk about this a lot, believe it or not, like back on MMA Live when I was in ESPN 2009, and hasn't happened yet. I'm not holding my breath, but it's a great thought.
I know that there's, for the BMF title, Anik, we've got Justin Gaethje against Max Holloway. Listen, Gaethje's a fan favorite. He's a made man, all that stuff. But my God, the way the MMA community reacts to Max Holloway, regardless of who he's against, it's quite a phenomenon, John.
It's a great point, Gresh. And it's crazy to think that Max Holloway might actually be more popular than Justin Gaethje. I mean, Max Holloway's public approval rating in 2024 is absolutely absurd. And he's still on the cusp of regaining his undisputed UFC featherweight championship, but I think he looks great here at lightweight this week, and I think it's going to be really telling in terms of his fighting future how he handles this fight with Gaethje up 10 pounds because he hasn't fought at lightweight since 2019, but he's never been confused as being a small guy. But you're right. The resonation of both of these athletes with the fan base is truly spectacular. And I hate when, you know, analysts like me trot out the line like, oh, I hate the one guy has to lose. But I do think that applies to this fight. You know, both of these guys could be fighting for the undisputed world title. This BMF title is a really cool thing. Baddest mother effer, all of that. But these guys should be fighting for the undisputed world title. So hopefully they get out of this one clean.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those where whenever they award whomever wins the BMF belt, like both guys could stand in the ring and hold their hands up and they're going to get applause because I think there will be respect for the battle between the two. So can you just quickly map out what your next 48 hours look like so the people understand, like, it's not just Anik rolls out and sits down with his note cards and starts calling fights. There's everything that goes into it. And I don't think, unlike last time we were in Vegas out there, Anik, I don't think they're going to be filming a movie all of a sudden where it's like, oh, here's Anik to come out for Roadhouse.
That's right.
And me and my kids are going nuts. We couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, thankfully there's no Roadhouse shoot this week. And it sounds trite, but it's totally a sprint to the finish. Show has a lot more writing for television than the average play-by-play gig. You know, I haven't done major college football since 2015, but, you know, you scribble down your show open on a piece of paper, you deliver it, you're not really doing any sort of writing. So we do a lot of writing, so a lot of the next 48 hours for me will be writing. I am on standby in case Dana White can't make the press conference later today. I do have a shoot with our British affiliate TNT Sports later today, and morning weigh-in tomorrow. We'll shoot UFC live for a full hour on ESPN2 on Friday. I got an appearance for Cuervo Friday night. I'll be back to Bang Keys from like 9 to 1 a.m. And then the hay will be in the barn. And as you guys well know, all my anxieties in the preparation. Saturday arrives. We're ready to go and perform.
So the first fight is that you said 3:10 Pacific time, right? And then you will end what? Midnight? How long will you go?
So I wish. Yeah. So I actually go and handle part of the post show as well, believe it or not. So, yeah, I mean, you got to maximize your earning prime, I guess, right?
Well,
so I'll
you're
get
doing
off
it.
After 8 hours. And I'll go up to the post fight show for about 45 minutes. And, yeah, so it'll be about 8.5, 9 hours of talking. And, yeah, I guess midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern time.
So, what do you do for your voice? We get maybe some tea with honey, maybe a little lemon in that tea. Like, what do you do to make sure you don't get like you don't lose your voice? Well, I don't know. All he's yapping and yelling and saying Dunsky, Dunsky,
yeah.
Dunsky.
I don't know. Cigars and whiskey work good for some.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think I've done some permanent damage to my vocal cords, and a lot of that is voicing video games where you're just doing hours upon hours of repetition. But, you know, I used to bang those Monster sugar-free energy drinks, and I was a big Diet Coke guy, and then I read that aspartame can paralyze your vocal cords. So I moved over to American Black Tea,
there you
which
go.
Is Coca-Cola Classic.
Look at this guy.
No, I drink black tea.
Look at this guy.
Coke Classic. I know, right?
Yeah. Coca-Cola Classic is really American Black Tea. But, no, I'll drink tea with honey. I'll drink black coffee, but no citrus because that can also go the opposite way with the vocal cords. But I do think, like,
this is good information.
You can, and you guys can speak to this, like you sort of condition yourself to whatever it is that is your devil, right? So, you know, when Gresh was doing 5 hours solo radio, right, you sort of condition yourself and your voice and your mind and your body to whatever the exercise is. But, dude, I'm toast at the end of these weeks.
Oh, yeah. You know what? After fights, I don't even try because I know that Anik's gassed and you're getting out at, you know, by the time he's done with the post, it's probably 11:30 Pacific time, maybe. That card gets over 10:15. By the time he gets up to where the set is and all that stuff, and they bring everybody up there, oh yeah, I just there's no chance. I got a better chance of seeing his twin brother out stumbling on the Vegas Strip at midnight than our guy John, who is sleeping. By the way, I encourage you, if you're a big MMA fan, go to johnanik.com. All of the merch is up there. This guy's merching like The Rock. I'm telling you, go get the One More Sleep shirts. There's special ones for UFC 300 as well. Very good stuff at johnanik.com. Thank you for dealing with the technical issues, brother. We appreciate you. Have a great call, and hopefully I bump into you out there over the next couple of days.
I absolutely love you guys. Thank you so much for having me and giving the UFC some time. And I'll let you go with this. The highlight of my 2024, Kristaps Porzingis went on to johnanik.com and bought a damn One More Sleep t-shirt.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Look at that.
And so he now, gets, you know what? Now we're going to have to go get one.
No, you know what? And part of the reason you mentioned that,
I'm going to go buy one.
If Porzingis ain't getting a freebie, nobody is.
Yeah,
no,
damn it.
So go buy it.
It's gonna be, I was just going to, hey, send some to Leo and Birmingham Drive.
I'll make sure, when I buy, I'll make sure to buy some for a Billy and Nick as well. Andy, thank you, brother. We appreciate you. We know you're busy. Talk to you soon, friend. Thanks.
Thank you, boys. You're the best.
There we go. Our guy, Johnny Anik, he is representing Boston at UFC 300, the voice of the UFC. Man, we got Tiger Woods to get to as well. We got Big Deal, No Big Deal coming up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
Oh, Kentucky does not get Scott Drew to come coach them. Scott Drew to stay at Baylor.
Yeah, so Kentucky loses out on their, I guess, their number one selection?
Well, kind of, just quickly, because I know that I heard Wiggy and Courtney talking about it. They were kind of bickering the other day over that, because I'm with Courtney. Dan Hurley ain't going anywhere. He's got it great at UConn. I don't think his wife wants to go to Kentucky or anything.
No, he's
like
already
that,
said it as much, yeah.
Yeah,
what I hate is this team.
that was
Calipari.
That was Calipari.
Right? Okay, so
he might be bringing that whole team with him.
So they lost to Oakland, right? Not Oakland, correct. California.
No, they lost to Oakland, Michigan, who was a 14 seed or 13 seed or whatever. Yeah,
Freudian slip.
You
absolutely
think?
He does not like that team.
I met with the team. There is no team.
And that was at his press conference in Arkansas.
That was,
and there isn't any team.
There is no team.
And as you know, I don't like them anyways. They're all freshmen.
I mean, it's all transfer portal and all that. But
the money is going to be flowing in.
Mm-hmm.
Flowing in.
They have their whale, whomever it is, down at Arkansas.
Well, it's the Tyson guy. Tyson Foods guy.
Tyson Chicken?
Yeah, or the Walmart guy. So you got Tyson Chicken out there in that area, and you got the Walmart people. Walmart money. But they bought a football team, so.
Well, yeah.
You got a lot of money in Arkansas, man. It's amazing how much money's in Arkansas.
I mean, it's amazing. And why move?
Sam's Club.
And why move out of there if you're the corporate office in Bentonville? It's like, you probably own Bentonville, Arkansas.
I looked at, as far as like how far your money goes.
Oh, man. And that's where Stan Kroenke was smart. Married a Walton, tapped into that dough, and now he owns, what, four sports teams or something like that.
Man.
It's amazing when you think about it. The whole money goes a long way, especially that Walmart money, because I don't think it ends. I mean, that's a...
No, Walmart money, there is no ending.
That's a faucet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's never going to turn
off. It's just always on.
I'm with you on that, definitely. Thanks to our guy, John Anik, for previewing UFC 300 and a little technical snafu we had there. Whatever,
you worked it out, though.
No, you did.
You were about to lose it, though.
I was.
I
definitely was. I thought we had these things
buttoned up and ready to go. We don't need two people losing it
today. Yeah, yours is directed a little more at Wigmund. And
listen, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's all at Greg.
I didn't realize.
I hate Greg.
Well, and I never realized for it's like clocks don't exist on that show. whether it begins or ends. For some. We love you, Greg. You know
the life of a midday host.
You know we're needling you, Greg. It's all good.
I am going to not use one of Mayo's sayings when...
it is what it is?
I'm not going to use it.
Can't use that?
I would challenge you. Like, I don't think anyone could not use the top 10 list. I challenge you. Try during a week. Try to not use one of those phrases, slogans, or sayings.
Well, if Bill Belichick was really on his game, right? He would have trademarked a bunch of these already for commercial use.
I'm surprised the Patriots haven't trademarked Do Your Job. That's what I mean. Do Your Job is Roll Tide. I'm amazed. I'm sure Notre Dame, I'm sure like that sign, that stupid, stupid sign that all those stupid Notre Dame football players touch on their way to the field. At the bottom right-hand corner, there's probably a little trademark circle on it.
No, the Patriots filed to trademark the phrase, do your job.
Yeah.
Now, you can give that up, and I don't know what the current status is of it, but this is 2 years after do your job, Patriots filed a new trademark for the 2016 season. So it's been a while. But I got to tell you, if you're painting over do your job down there, you got to find a new slogan.
And I am curious because the first thing new coaches do, they either take their old slogan, right, and then they incorporate it into the new
like
system.
The guy jumping to Minnesota, the PJ Fleck, yep. The whole row your boat
yep.
thing.
Yeah, because he was at Central Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just, which was kind of lazy in a way.
What do you mean?
You can't take your row your boat now. We already know you use that at Central Michigan.
Nobody... Well, do you think Bill Belichick, when he gets a job next year, will walk into the Dallas Cowboys and say, that do your job thing, nah, wipe that
That'll
away.
That'll be interesting if because he is not going to, all those sayings are his.
Correct.
Do whatever he wants to with them. And his book that he's writing, I'm sure one chapter is going to be titled, Do Your Job.
The whole where comma, it came from.
Well.
Well. That's right. That's the part that gets left out. Well, the world has been reacting to the death of O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson's family tweeted out on his Twitter, the official O.J. Twitter, the real O.J. 32, that Orenthal James Simpson lost his battle with cancer, 76 years old. I know that the Masters got on a little late today because of weather down there. So I know nice ESPN now. That I'm looking at. Has switched over to Masters. I don't know about ESPN2 if they're still talking about it, but there's been a lot of, and I'm kind of surprised, the Nationals jumping on talking about O.J. Simpson. Michael Wilbon talked about it. They had Stephen A. Smith talking about it. And you and I earlier touched on the whole complicated legacy of O.J. Simpson.
It is funny because go ahead.
No, but how... I really wonder how younger sort of people, like we've talked about, like Billy's 40, 41, Nick's under 30, you're a tad over 50, I'm almost 50. We have different sort of, you know, demographics here on the show. But how or what do young people really know about this guy? Is it really just, well, OJ got away with murder and that was it? Like, do people know what a legendary football player this guy really was.
I was gonna say what a dirtbag he was.
Oh, listen, I think that is. I don't know if we have to expound upon that he was probably a pretty bad person.
So, now just an observation, with his athletic career was so good from college and in the pros, and his post career life before the murders was so just next level.
It seemed almost movie-like.
Because I remember thinking, like, when he dies, what's he going to be known for? When he passes away, didn't think it was going to be today. When he finally passes, and maybe it was yesterday, we don't know, are people going to remember him for the murder? Well, he was acquitted. Okay, so I'll give him that.
Again, whatever you think about it, he
did. Are they going to remember him for his athletic and movie career? And just a short sample size, it's been mostly football. No mention.
Really?
No mention. It's the mention of, it's the footnote of he's also blah, 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 because he was acquitted. Okay. Then ended up going to jail for, trying to get
it was
a bunch
robbery.
Of his memorabilia.
I think it was, I think it turned into armed robbery and it was 7 or 8 years, I think.
Yeah. So he
like
served
that.
A big chunk of time in Vegas, actually. So, no, it's, and I think if on the short sample size, kind of like knowledge of what's going on, it's been his football career. The whole murder, the whole trial, the whole craziness that was that time in my life is a footnote.
So I just typed in.
And I wonder how the Goldmans feel about that.
Well, there's that part of it too, no doubt. I wonder if they're going to issue a statement today.
I know, and what would that statement even say?
I think I know.
I could write it.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a line that when you're emotional, there's the email you write, and then there's the email you send.
Ooh, man, I've had a lot of those.
I didn't learn that for a while, I'll tell you that.
You know how many times I've regretted pressing send?
Well, normally, if I get to that point, I'm not pressing send. I'm normally marching to somewhere to go say it. But regardless, there's the email you write and the email you send. I wonder if that's where the Goldman family lands today. There's the statement you want to write, and then there's the statement that you put out.
Because he still owes him a lot of money.
Well, it's interesting because I just did a Google of O.J. jailed in Nevada. I wanted to see. Apparently, he got like 33 years, possibility of parole after 9. He got early release in 2017. So really, by the law and the sentence that O.J. got, if I'm reading this correctly, he should have passed away in jail but got out early and all that stuff. It's a very complicated legacy, and I think this is a pure guess on my part. I think for the Youngs, it is, oh, that's the guy who said stuff on Twitter. I'm just saying, you know.
Hello, Twitter world.
My fantasy football
team. That's not
team,
going anywhere.
Those will live forever. They're on Twitter, unless the family pulls them down.
And who was more upset about Twitter being, the name Twitter being changed to X more than him?
Then, oh.
Hello, X world. Well, it just doesn't have the right, like pizzazz. I'm going to stick with Twitter world.
Exactly right.
Hello, X world. No, I don't like it.
And whenever
hey,
those.
X world, it's me, yours truly.
And whenever they popped up, people were like, oh, OJ put a new video up, and you'd look and it'd have, you know, 250,000 views or something like that, whatever.
I would bet a lot of people around my age don't even know who OJ is.
I think there is that's that old guy who played football but does Twitter videos.
That might be like the baseline of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't guess it would be much more beyond that.
I would agree. They wouldn't know that he rushed for 2,000 yards or that he's in the Hall of Fame or anything like that. I think you would, you know, I really think, sadly for O.J. Simpson, and again, he brought it on himself, the thing that people are going to connect most to the guy is the chase in the white Bronco. Because that video lives forever. And think about how many pop culture jokes. Seinfeld did something on it back in the day. Like, as you know, as the series was in its heyday, they had a thing with Kramer. You know who I am. Like Al Cowling's on the phone and stuff. So it's been parodied. It's been mocked. And how many people, I mean, again, we're talking about Twitter, but think about how many people will use a meme or a GIF, and it's a white Bronco going up the highway. I really think.
He really destroyed, anyone who had a white Bronco.
Destroyed
just,
it.
Just like, just
paint
discontinue
blue.
It.
Yep.
We can't sell them anymore.
And if you own
it. The old school big Broncos were awesome.
You know what? It's really crazy because if you think about it, it almost backs up the point I just made, whereas if you saw a white Bronco go down Storo, what would be the first thing you think
OJ.
Of? It'd be an OJ joke in the car somewhere.
If you have an old white Bronco, now is probably the time to think about selling it. It just became more valuable.
Hey, you're going to have to help me with something.
All right.
Did at one point in time Glenn Ordway say OJ was listening to him during the chase or something?
Yes.
I have a bunch of people sending this in, and I'm like, well, it's like, hang on here. Wasn't OJ listening to Ordway on the radio driving around the white Bronco?
Cowlings. Yeah, they were.
So it was Al Cowlings
what
who was
it?
Listening?
You're right. I cannot remember.
Wait a minute. This is like, what, 1993 or 4 or something like that? How would they have been
I don't know.
Listening in?
He must have been doing, Ordway must have been doing a national show or something like that. I do remember, because Ordway was
some NBA
weirdly connected to like everybody. He was like Forrest Gump in a way. Like every major story, he had this weird connection. Laura Branigan, like it just, Don King, just the weirdest, oddest Forrest Gump type situations. Yeah, and then the OJ thing was also part of it also.
X-Bear says, I've heard the audio. It was the NBA Finals. He was calling the game, apparently.
Yes, yes. It was...
So it would have been a Celtics game then, or was
no,
this?
It was Knicks. No, he must have been doing a national show. He must have been doing, like, you know, maybe, you know, some, you know, part-time work with Westwood One. You know, outside.
Right,
or,
something like that. Because people keep sending it in. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Wow, that's a flashback right there. He absolutely was.
And knew that Al Cowlings was listening? That's great.
Yeah, because I think Cowlings said it or admitted to it.
That they were listening to the game?
Listening, to the game. How crazy is that?
That's wild.
I've seen almost every single OJ documentary there has been, like, from Netflix has like 20 of them, right? And there's the one that Cuba Gooding Jr. was in.
I missed that
he
one.
He was OJ.
Yeah.
He was OJ.
I mean.
Crazy. He was pretty good, too.
Oh, of course he could.
Oh, my God.
Problem was he was like a foot shorter and 50 pounds lighter than OJ.
Yeah. It was like you couldn't tell, though, because everybody else was short.
Some of these textures are ruthless.
You had to stand really close to the camera.
Yeah. In the foreground, right? Yeah.
We got
it's like an optical illusion.
We get people sending in MFK jokes on, you know, Mary F or Kill. Like, come on, y'all. Can't we
go on?
This is about OJ.
I can't play.
Somebody said, as good as a football player OJ was, he was even better at that. It's like, oh, man. Oh, what is this? Coop just put something up about baseball on the Twitch.
Jordan Montgomery.
Jordan Montgomery. Oh, Jordan Montgomery has hired Wasserman's Joel Wolf and Nick Chinook as his agents. Montgomery was one of the Boris Four who were unsigned late going into free agency. This guy, Kylie McDonald, projected 5 years, 106, and got 1 year, 25 with Arizona on March 26th. Wow, so Jordan Montgomery moving on from Boris. Holy cow. Mm. Maybe he really wanted to go to Boston, and Boris talked him out of it. Or that's just a guy disgruntled with his agent, and he's not coming here. I think it's the latter.
Interesting.
Coming up. Who's Nevin Shapiro, and why is the NCAA worried about him? Big deal, no big deal is next.
This is Crash and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Oh, just the music. Big deal, no big deal.
Never mind.
Stop it. Big deal, no big deal.
You couldn't either.
No. Listen, I'm actually really impressed with you right now.
Why?
I mean, today started off kind of hectic and crazy.
Yeah.
And then of course, the John Anik Zoom didn't quite work out the way you wanted it
almost
to.
Almost through my phone.
And and you didn't even pace in a circle like a caged animal. And you got one foot out the door. Are you amazed that he made it through that last segment?
You know who didn't make it through? It was Nick.
Nick, oh yeah, I didn't
Nick
know.
Nick lost it.
Nick
he like pounded the table.
Yeah,
spilled his water.
Really?
Oh yeah,
he was pissed.
I was just sitting here with
because everything
feet
was
up.
Good to go. It was like we heard you guys talking to John, and John came through the board. Nick was all Coop was all connected, and then it happened, and nothing happened, and Nick.
And you know what I think the problem is?
I saw him like a.
You know what I think?
It was
you know,
good. Like he wound up.
He
like,
did.
2 minutes later, he's like, my pinky hurts.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you might have broken your pinky.
Hand hurts a little bit, but we're fine.
Gonna pick your nose.
I'm like, this business isn't worth the injuries.
I would say the you know what I think the problem was in this before we get to the first topic on big deal no big deal
by
is,
the way injury reports out on Wednesday.
I will say that I may have something to do with this game.
What's that?
Okay, because I told you to unmute him. I said I want to talk to Anik.
I didn't. I'm not gonna bring
him.
That up.
I'm gonna say, well, I feel like I have some, you know, I feel like I have some accountability with
nah,
this.
Nah, you don't.
I, it's have to be, I think I'm partly to blame. It's okay.
I think in...
We tried, it went wrong, we moved on.
I think in talking to Coop, there's a new computer in there, and there might need to be a setting adjustment from our guy Yamon, and hopefully he is on that.
Right, okay. I wonder if it's the same thing that we dealt with Hamacek.
I'm going to say it's probably something pretty similar. We just got to get, you know, Eamon on it. If we ordered pizza today, we would have seen Eamon. I'm just saying.
True.
You know, when we need him, it's like, oh, I'll text you a little later. But if we said, hey, we got a problem down here, and oh, by the way, we got pizza, his ass would be in that elevator down here in about 30 seconds.
Eamon,
I love you.
All right, so listen, two topics today because I know we're short on time. But this one before Nevin Shapiro. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about Caitlin Clark, about the success of Iowa, and all the attention that she has brought to women's college basketball. Now, the WNBA is putting Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, the team with the first pick in the draft,
yep.
on national TV 36 times next season.
They're smart.
There's only 40 games on its national broadcast and streaming partners. They only total 40, so 36 of them are going to be there. The first one is May 14th. Big deal, no big deal.
Big deal. This is what the NBA should do. Ride it until, you know, the wheels fall off And if the popularity of Caitlin Clark continues, by God, they've really got themselves something then. And if not, it's still going to be a boost to the WNBA. So, yep, it's a big deal. It's to be expected. I mentioned yesterday that this was the first time they sold tickets to the WNBA draft. I think in like, I don't know, it's either 6, 7, 8 years, whatever. And it's sold out all because of Caitlin Clark.
You know what I think the big deal is? It's not necessarily that, because I think that was kind of predictable, is the fact that the season opener at Connecticut, mind you, on May 14th.
Oh, really?
It's May 14th would be her first, like, she literally just ended.
Yep.
If she hasn't technically graduated from Iowa, she is going to be in camp, like, right away and then have a first game May 14th.
So they only play 40 games and 36 of them are on national television?
National television. Yeah. And again, it's their national broadcast and streaming partners, so it may be on Hulu or Peacock or whatever the hell it is.
Right, whatever.
But nationally,
it is,
you're going to be able to get it. So if you don't know, do you remember Nevin Shapiro?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
so Nevin Shapiro was a University of Miami booster who's known for basically funneling money to all the University of Miami players. You remember guys like, what, Vince Wilfork was kind of tied up in this. I think Greg Olsen was part of it.
Yep.
Jonathan Vilma. All, like, when they won a national championship,
seven,
like,
four crew.
This was part of that crew, yeah. They were also being fed a lot of money. Well, he went to jail for a long time, not only for what he did, but also, like, he had a big Ponzi scheme that he was doing, and that's where he was getting a lot of his money. Went to jail for a long time. Now, yeah. NIL is here to stay.
Yep.
Name, image, and likeness, and this is what they've basically been doing, but just undercover. This is what Nevin Shapiro has been doing. Well, the NCAA, I'm sure, is freaking out because Nevin Shapiro is back and it's legal this time. Listen to him bragging about the opportunity that he's going to provide future Miami football players.
So the NIL situation has become the biggest thing in college sports. Kids getting paid crazy money, pay for play. I guess people forgot where this really originated from. NIL, that's Nevin Image and Likeness. That's where that started. Anything else is a joke. That's how it went down. I'm looking for all the smoke. You want me? Come see me.
Well, big deal, no big deal. I feel like that's a weird, you know, subtle, but not even subtle flex by Nevin Shapiro. He changed name, image, and likeness to Nevin Image and Likeness. Big deal, no big deal.
It's no big deal because NIL is here. It's a big deal that this guy thinks he created it. I mean, really.
Well, he's
NIL. That's Nevin Image and Likeness.
I mean, seriously.
He's like, such a cheese ball.
You know what it is? It's like the people, when I first started working in radio, I ended up getting tied into, like, we were doing some kind of, like, Extra Point football show or whatever the hell it was, right?
Points.
I don't know, right?
Yeah, that's what they're called.
But the guy who set the whole thing up ended up getting, like, Vinatieri. And I hosted it, and the guy walked up to me relatively recent, within the last year, and it took everything I had not to grab him by the goozle, because he goes, oh, I got you your first interview. I'm like, you need to get the F out of here, because I will strike you. Like, the whole, like, shut up, dude. Really? That's how I feel about Nevin Shapiro. Shut up, dude.
But it is.
You're going to end up in jail again.
No. This is the crazy part of it. It's like, now he just can easily be like, yo, you want some cash? You want to play? Do you know that Miami tried to steal Zay Flowers from BC?
Oh, I'm very aware.
Do you know that that was a big deal internally with BC football, that were trying to poach Zay Flowers?
If anybody was paying attention recently, some of the offensive linemen were targeted here as of late as well. When you have a good left tackle, other schools take notice.
It is crazy. So Nevin Shapiro can just literally call up, you know, anyone on BC's football team and say, I got a great deal for you. Doesn't have to go through the university. It's Nevin Image and Likeness.
Now, see,
and now it's legal, homie. Well, I can spend as much money. Where's Two Live Crew?
Oh, you leave.
Where's Two Live
Crew?
You
leave Luther Campbell
he
out of this.
Be involved
God
in
dang
this.
It. Don't besmirch the name of the Two Live Crew now. Let's not go down that road. However, I do smell opportunity for Christian Fourier.
Really?
Because
Please.
Well, because your son has 2 years left.
Yes.
So 1 year, go somewhere, put up the numbers, and then, hey Nevin, I'm Christian Fourier. I have a son up for auction right now.
Do you know the University of Miami has a tight end that I think is going on? I gotta check
year
this.
Seven.
Hold on. No, I think it's eight. I think it's eight.
I think it is eight.
I think it's eight because you have five with a red shirt. You have six with a COVID year. You have seven with a medical year. And then an eighth year. The dude is almost 30 years old, tatted up like crazy, and they allowed him to come back. 8 years. He should be a doctor.
Hold on.
Is it nine?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, Cam McCormick.
Cam McCormick said Thursday he's coming back for a ninth year. Season.
Oh, my God.
The 26.
The 25. No. The 25-year-old is believed to be the first with a ninth season granted by the NCAA.
I mean, come on. He should be doctor. What's his last name? McCord?
McCormick.
Oh, Dr. McCormick. He should be a doctor. Four undergrad, five postgrad.
So he got
medical
there,
doctor.
So he got there as a 17-year-old. I was 17 when I first went to college.
Unbelievable.
How physically not ready you are.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. There he is.
McCormick, yeah.
Oh, my God. Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, and DK Metcalf were in his recruiting class, and all those guys are now making, combined.
How do you do that?
$500 million
in contracts. How do you walk in to the locker room, and you're 26. It's not like you left to play baseball like Brandon Whedon. You just don't want to leave college. Like, why won't you leave?
Hey, well, he wants to get drafted.
He's like not going to get drafted.
It's like a poker tournament.
Cow.
You get a chip and a chair. I got a chip and a chair. I got a chance. I'm on the field in Miami. I got a chance. I guess that's right. But anyway, what I'm thinking of is one good year in 2024, and then Christian Fourier holds a press conference and says, hello, NIL teams. This is my son. He had a great year last year. He is up for auction. Who wants to pay us a butt ton of money? And then you're standing there, and then all of a sudden it's like fast forward, October 9th, insert school here versus insert school here. And there's Fourier standing on the sideline with a nice new Rolex and a big old chain on.
Doesn't it still feel like there was an aspect of like just uncomfortableness that existed when it was in the shadows?
Yeah.
I don't think that's left. It still feels sleazy.
It does.
Like, just think of this goofball, this complete clown. Hey, yeah, like bragging about, oh, God. Hey, that's the way we live now. That's college football. And that's big deal, no big deal. I didn't get to your story. We may have to play it later.
Nah, yeah, we might have to at some point. I wanted to get to this earlier because I know we had the OJ news, and the Masters is on. Fourier, why is Tiger Woods a romanticized athlete? I'll explain, and we'll get to it next.